flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You know, we've played really good defense for a long time here. That's what we're used to doing. I would say this year, probably not as good as we've played in the years prior. One of the things I thought we did a really good job at this year, which has also been a hallmark of our defenses, is taking the ball away. I mean, part of the scoring on offense is from the defense taking the ball away. We did it again in the championship game. That being said, we didn't do enough. We didn't perform well enough in the Kansas City game. I would say, if you look back at it, we did make a key stop the year before, similar to allow us to go have a chance to win the game, which is prospectively an important piece. But we have to figure out a way to perform better against that football team.
Don't you know it, Sean? Don't you know it? That's the head coach, Sean McDermott, there.
I think he, if anybody, knows it.
It's just...
You could hear it.
Yeah.
You could hear it. He's exasperated just like the rest of us.
It's the...
And...
In a hypothetical hump.
And in the first year of him, in a sense, passing the torch on to another coach, it was the same results.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Babich takes over that defense, and McDermott is, I'd say, still involved in the defense, but he's not as involved.
100%. But you could tell there's a stark difference from last year. It's not as aggressive. It man coverage more than not, right? So
correct.
It's like... You clearly could tell there's an on-field product difference between the two of them. So, yes, he might still have his influence, maybe on a big play, per se, right? Giving
yes.
his input. It's Babich calling the plays, though. It's not McDermott anymore.
McDermott has switched to being more of the true delegator, making the important decisions, especially fourth down.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that he's evolved into that role a lot better.
Yes, and I think not having to worry about calling defensive plays might help when your sole worry is delegating to other people and worrying about head coaching your team in tough situations.
Correct.
I think that has all kind of put him on the right path, if you will.
Yeah.
You know?
And Dan Campbell is one of those types of guys. He does not have a particular hand in either of those units.
His unit got picked apart, though, this offseason.
His staff got picked apart.
Oh, my God.
I would really like to see what Detroit does going forward. But
they're in a similar position, though. Just quick, like everybody's saying their window's closed as the Bills last year. Did you see that?
Do people not know what windows are?
Right. They can reopen, guys. You can unlock them and open them back up. But anyway, I don't think it's closed. That team was, that team's made deep playoff runs to the divisional and on back-to-back years. And I think you have guys who are below the coordinators who would be able to fill those spots.
Yes,
they bet around the team, right?
A team with an NFC championship appearance and the one seed the following year had their window suddenly shut.
Yeah.
Are they missing the playoffs next year?
That's what they said about Buffalo.
Welcome to the topic of discourse.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
What a transition.
Those debate shows need to stop. They really do.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't give you anything honest anymore.
They have a take to have a take, to get clips.
The job is to have a take, and the other person has to have a different take.
Who can
out-take the other? Who can make it louder to the point where everyone's going, what the hell did that guy say? I guess I need to watch tomorrow and be angry at them.
And then it circulates all over online. That's all it is. It's a business. And it's the same as the NFL. It's a business.
It's very disingenuous.
Mm-hmm. Because if you look at a lot of these national pundits on their own private platforms,
they are a lot better when they're on their own.
Or
on different shows even. Dan Orlovsky on NFL Live and pretty much anywhere else is far better than when Dan Orlovsky has to be shoved on the First Take.
Oh, First Take, yeah. Well, First Take is the...
First Take is the death of sports journalism.
That and... what is Skip Bayless's? I forget. It's so forgettable now.
Because he's not there anymore.
Undisputed. That's right. Oh, that's right. That's right.
And I hope that man steps on a Lego every day for the rest of his life.
Mm.
That dude sucks.
That's a wish I would not wish upon anybody but Skip Bayless.
Yeah.
I feel like. Maybe Deshaun Watson, maybe Justin Tucker, allegedly. Have to wait and see on that one.
I think that would affect his... Actually, playing with a guilty conscience could also affect your kicking game, allegedly.
That's what allegedly. Alleged. It's all alleged.
Allegedly. but anyway, circling back to it really does... Like, discourse among sports now... And within football itself,
mm-hmm.
When you talk about those kinds of shows, like a First Things First or an Undisputed or a First Take, or what's the other one that ESPN has in the morning?
Get Up.
Yeah.
I think Get Up definitely.
They all have the same sort of elements to them.
Yeah.
Which is they got to find a way, in a sense, to piss people off.
Right.
But I think that's the drug that they have to chase.
It's more entertaining to analysis.
It still has to do with the fact that you have to do something to get people drawn to you, and sometimes they do it too, where it's like Mike Greenberg going, oh yeah, the Jets are winning the division this year. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, calm down.
And then everyone settled down. A lot of people jumped on that, that opinion after that.
And,
so.
But these debate shows, it is all the same with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lack of journalistic integrity, but I also think it also has to do with there's one team breaking the entire system. Kansas City.
Yeah, the team.
They have broken the entire system of sports discourse at this point, where I made the Booty Cheek of the Week as a segment because, you know, you want to make fun of things that are outlandish that people say.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the Kansas City Chiefs force a lot of that out of people now.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's the same team going in the AFC, save for one time in these last 6 years. It's disgusting.
It is. And especially when they can post an annual Super Bowl uniform drop with Patrick Mahomes in it, and they captured it, our annual Super Bowl thing. I'm like, this is disgusting. And it's not the Patriots, they didn't go three-peat. They had gaps, right?
And also, they had a 10-year gap of winning one.
Yes.
They went to a couple Super Bowls in that time. They lost those. But they were not winning them. How many people have the confidence right now, spiritually, emotionally, not even thinking logically at this point? Because I feel like the feelings are kind of outweighing your logic at this point.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are actually believing in Philadelphia despite the fact that they have one of the strongest rosters in the National Football League?
I'm not. I think the Chiefs are going to three-peat.
Do you think that?
Why do I think that?
Because the Kansas City Chiefs have broken us.
They just win. They pull victory from the jaws of defeat 90% of the time. Even when it looks like they're going down, they're not. So
yes.
Until the Eagles subvert that, which even a few years ago, they held on, but the Chiefs, it was a close game and they still won. So it's like, why wouldn't that just happen again? In the playoffs.
Interesting choice of words, because it was a defensive holding penalty that lost them that game in the Super Bowl.
Right. Listen,
In a game where
the result at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, like that's what I'm saying.
Interesting choice of words there. They held on all right.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yep, they held on. But then that allowed the Chiefs to kneel it out and kick that field goal to win it the last time those two teams played.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But the other thing is the officiating now. The entire week leading up to the Bills game, it was refs this, refs that. Not even about the game itself or these two teams.
No.
And I think a lot of that has to do with, ready, nationally, it was probably a foregone conclusion that the result that happened was what was going to happen. Because, yeah, the Bills look different this year. How much of you actually believe that logically? Because now you're speaking over emotionally. Your feelings are taking over because you want it to happen.
In two of the three other Bills-Chiefs matchups in the postseason, it was close. In all of their games, it averages to a 5-point differential. Fourth one. All four.
Well, I'm talking about the last three in particular. Those were your games that they were close the entire time.
Yes. Last year, 3 points. This year, 3 points. 13 seconds.
Like, 6 points.
Yeah. And because of an OT touchdown. It was tied at the end of regulation.
And that's where the problem lies.
Mm-hmm.
Is that this is what I mean by the Chiefs have broken sports discourse. All of a sudden it was talk about the refs. And what did it in that game sets up for confirmation bias?
Oh yeah. Everyone's hammered down on their opinion on the officiating since that matchup. And it's not just Bills fans. A lot of it is Bills fans.
And it's gotten to a point where even I am I'm the person that will never blame officiating for
no. I think that's a weak excuse.
It's a weak excuse. But that said,
can't look away.
I've now changed my stance to sure, say what you want. Except for it being openly rigged, say what you want.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear about a script because I don't think it's not WWE. There's no script here. As much as it feels like there is with the Chiefs continuing to win the way they do, it's not. Because you look at the officiating, right? No, it's the Allen 4th-and-1. You left that up to interpretation. That's your own doing, and you had already failed.
There's only one way that I will be willing to listen on script nonsense, and it's this: if they break record numbers again for a Chiefs three-peat, because who the hell wants to see it?
Mm-hmm. There's only Missouri is remotely interested in that, and Kansas. Whoever's
and of course, obviously, Philly's gonna watch, and people are gonna watch because it's football. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Football is football,
right? People are gonna bet.
I can say it until I'm blue in the face that I am genuinely disinterested in watching the Super Bowl this year, and it has more to do with just not being emotionally invested. I do not want to be rooting for the Eagles just because it's not Kansas City, and then be disappointed. I don't want it, mm-hmm. So I'm not gonna deal with it this year.
Also, I've seen videos already of Eagles fans being insufferable, so I'm kind of just I'm out on either.
I'm still gonna pull for the Eagles because of people that I know that have worked or are working in this building.
We talked to Louis DiBiase.
We talked to Louis last week, mm-hmm. And Louis's the guy that I'm gonna pull for.
Yeah.
One of the other new guys around here, Chris.
Chris.
Chris is an Eagles fan, and you know you pull for the people that you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Chris was pulling for the Bills with us all season, so you got to return the favor.
And but that's the extent of it. I do not feel like being bothered with seeing this Chiefs team play football again.
No. There's already betting odds on if Travis Kelce proposes to Taylor Swift following the game. It's plus 750.
And ready? I don't care.
I know. It's just,
and there are people that are actively mad about seeing Taylor Swift on a television screen. I do not care.
No, because guess what? It's money into the sport we love because people tune in who are not big football fans to watch that. So I'm not like, oh, get her off the TV screen like everybody is.
Yeah.
Guess what? If Haley Steinfeld was on the TV screen, would we care?
No.
No. We'd all be like, oh my God, it's Josh Allen's celebrity fiance.
Yeah.
Right? Like, no. It's just because it's the Chiefs. Like, that's what it is.
It is the team on the football field that annoys me the most. And it's disgusting how they win differently so many different times.
Mm-hmm.
In different ways.
And we've said it about the Bills so many times, an ugly win is a win. The Chiefs, this season, made that their mantra.
Did it as ugly as people could have ever seen.
Yes. But you have to give it to them, though. That blocked field goal. Special teams came through. Won them that game. Like, their team has come through. Special teams, defense, offense, to win these clutch situations. You can't dispute that. As much as you hate it,
mm-hmm.
you can't dispute it. They're a good football team. They're well-coached and well-rounded.
Boy, do I hate it.
Yes, and I do too.
Like, oh boy, do I hate it.
I despise it.
And that said, I'm going to avoid something that I hate. I will find my way to not watching that game this year. And I think that just has to do with me protecting my peace selfishly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to suddenly just like call for this massive boycott of it, but do what you want to do.
There is but a power button on that TV remote.
But there's definitely a sense of frustration from me as a Bills follower, as a football fan, that I can't be bothered to be frustrated watching a game.
Right.
I watched the third quarter of that Chiefs-Texans game in the divisional round, and I turned it off.
Yeah, that's where the officiating conversation started.
That's where it started.
Yeah.
That's where it got reinvigorated.
Mm-hmm.
It was also bad football, objectively, to watch.
Yeah, and I felt, honestly, I felt
and
for
as
Stroud,
a neutral fan in that game,
yeah,
that's bad football.
Yeah, that the Texans team's decimated beyond belief on offense. Stroud's taking unnecessarily rough hits. Like, it's just... And also, that's, like we said, where the flags came in on the pass,
but even
roughing
like,
the passer, all that
Stroud
stuff.
Stroud was also taking sacks that he shouldn't have.
Right. It was just, you know, you said bad football.
It was objectively bad football.
From, honestly, a lot on both sides of the ball. Mahomes slowing up so he draws a flag. Like, come on. Like, no.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not watching that.
Yeah. And I don't want to have any business with dealing with that again next week.
Mm-hmm. I can say, though, I do respect the respect post-game that they have for Allen and the Bills, right? Like, it's not, oh, we love beating them every play, ending their season.
They don't like putting bulletin board material up there, but they also have acknowledged that the Bills have become consistently the threat. And that's where the madness comes in.
Mm-hmm.
The madness comes in because Buffalo is a team that continues to punch with them and go 12 rounds.
Yeah, and win in the regular season. You're 4-1 in the regular season. You can't beat them in the playoffs. Like, that's the most frustrating part.
You want to trade that so bad right now, but it doesn't.
Like,
but correlation is not causation.
Exactly. They're not on your. They're on your schedule next season.
Doesn't mean that they're going to
throw the game.
Yeah, they're not throwing the game.
No. You try to win every football game,
and not to mention, it's also because you would want to have any chance at the one seed.
Yes,
the Bills were in conversations with the one seed this year because they were the only team to have beaten the Chiefs starters,
mm-hmm.
and if Kansas City goes and wins the Super Bowl, they will be the only team that beat the Chiefs starters.
Yep. Just not when it counted.
Just not in the future of it.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a part that would end their season.
You beat the NFC one seed as well.
And that
the Lions.
Team, and that's why that team makes me so bleeping angry.
Mm-hmm.
Is because if they win it, the Bills are the only team to have beaten their starters this year.
Can I ask you a question? I've talked to a few people, friends, family. Does it give you any ounce of solace in any way that the team that beat the Bills wins it because they're the best team?
Hell no.
I've gotten 50-50 on that. Not me personally, but I've heard 50-50 on that.
I think it's because of who it is.
Right.
Like, say Baltimore beat Buffalo and they go to the Super Bowl.
You'd want the best team to win.
Yeah, I'd pull for that.
We also got a lot of respect from
Booty Cheek of the Week coming up next year. Alex Brasky joining us at noon. This is WGR.